G'day, my name's Jeff. We're going to read the Bible now from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 14 to 23. But before we read, please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that as the creator of everything, you understand how this world works. You made it to work in a particular way. And even though through our mistakes and our actions, things are stuffed up, you nevertheless guide us back onto the right paths. Lord, thank you for what has been written down in the book of Proverbs that we've been studying, the things that we can learn. Please help us to focus in and listen to what Brandon has to tell us today and help us to take it to heart and to live following you and following the advice that you give us about how to live for you in this world. Father, we pray for Brandon as he preaches to us today. Thank you for his story, for his traineeship. Lord, thank you for his family and friends and mentors who support him, and we ask that you'll be with him as he preaches to us today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're reading from Proverbs chapter 12, starting at verse 14. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly.
Well, we are discussing wise words today, continuing on in Proverbs. Got me to thinking, how do we as Australians use our words? I think there's a few quirks here. Superficially, we love coffee. We love talking about it. We love talking over it. Apparently, we have 1,549 cafes in Brisbane. Is that wise words or no? We shorten a lot of our words as Aussies as well. Skip vowels. Words that end in ER turn into an A. If you go to one of those 1,549 cafes in Brisbane and ask for a mocha, maybe they might assume you're talking about mocha as in the person from Proverbs. Probably not. But sounds the same. Is that wise words or not? Australians are also known for sarcasm, self-deprecation, some banter culture, but our dry sarcasm with a straight face is often very unfunny to people like foreigners. Seems to be a bit unique to us. They can potentially just hear us being mean. Free tip for Australians, be aware of that. Free tip for foreigners, be aware of that. We love it. We'll say one thing with our words, and then with a completely straight face, expect them to understand that we're meaning the exact opposite. Incredible, incredible stuff. So is that wise words or no? I like to chat with some of my mates online. We get together in a server that we have affectionately titled the Roast Squad. And no, that's not because we visit the 1,549 cafes in Brisbane. What we're roasting is each other. It's iconic to watch a mate fail at a game. Then we all howl with laughter, them included. Yes, wise words. We're going through a section in the Bible called Proverbs today. It's wise sayings by ancient and godly men and women. It dates back up to 1,000 years before Christ. That's a long time. These wise words have stood the test of time. Much longer than my last tweet. Last week we looked at anger, including how it can colour our thoughts and words, And I think wise words should aim to be the opposite of that. I think we all struggle to know what's the right thing to say when it comes to having a lot of emotions and then speaking out. That can be true for my own emotions when I'm speaking to someone, but it's also true when someone else is emotional and I'm trying to speak to them. I suspect most of us know the feeling of saying something, maybe a little bit too soon, only to regret your rash words later. And if you don't know that feeling, maybe that's something to look into. Our words are limited as well. This increases the frustration. We often have thoughts that are more complex than our words seem to be able to convey. The person listening then has to go through a sort of translation exercise to try understand what you're saying. You probably haven't stopped and thought about this recently, but if you did, I suspect you'd be surprised. Consider how many times your words are misunderstood on a daily basis. How quickly can one or two ill-spoken words turn the tide of a friendship? The stakes are sometimes high and mistakes costly, and bridges hard to repair. Today we'll see words can heal or harm. Communication is complex, and out of the mouth the heart speaks, which is to say how our words show what's going on inside us. The importance of listening, and then I'll finish up with a few points that we can take away. First piece of wisdom, words can heal or harm. They have an extraordinary power, I should say. And look at this. This sets the tone quite nicely, I think. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The destructive power here is described in fairly graphic terms, isn't it? Proverbs 12:18 joins the party here. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. It's actually not much of a party. Proverbs 16:27, on the lips it is like a scorching fire. Such language shows that it is not neutral. They can maim, burn, leave lasting damage. And I slow down here because I want you to sit in that violence for a moment. We live in a very peaceful era. I think the closest a lot of us have got to war is watching a film where maybe some Navy SEALs bust through a door and effortlessly and painlessly the bad guys are dealt with without so much as a scream. But these proverbs evoke a much stronger image, don't they? I suspect when you're talking with someone, you're not thinking to yourself, how are my words? Could they be stabbing, slaughtering, or burning? Thankfully, righteous speech is likened to a life-giving spring. They bring healing. Proverbs highlights the restoration fact very nicely here, and it goes into more details with more sort of poetic flair here. The gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones, potentially even physically. It is interesting how much stress and our emotional state seems to affect physical health. Probably all know what it's like to have an authority figure bark one or two words and then suddenly you're anxious, short of breath, struggling to sleep. Even if it is a metaphor, I think it's a powerful reminder of just how powerful words can be in the positive direction and the negative. Proverbs also leans into the idea of it being quite expansive. It's not an isolated act. Here the lips of the righteous nourish many. Proverbs 11:11 has an entire city in view. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. Through the mouth of the wicked, it's destroyed. We had an election recently, and at the start of the month, and it's often a concern of voters, does my vote even matter? I think we can feel the same way with our words sometimes. Why speak up? What difference can a few words make? but they can and will. I want to assure you that, and Proverbs is here to tell us that. But alas, communication is complex. Welcome to the complicated world of wisdom. Not all speech is as it seems to be. Dun, dun. Some words sound appealing on the surface, but are actually deceptive and manipulative. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery, lying. While flattery may sound kind, it's self-serving and harmful. Words that seem pleasant are not always spoken in love. They mask dangerous intent. On the other hand, some words may initially seem hard to hear, but are actually life-giving. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Okay, so there's teaching, and I think implicit in that is something that you didn't know, and that might be a little bit uncomfortable. That's taken a step further here. A wound from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I love that in the spotlight, the advice email was ended in XOXO. It's pretty telling, isn't it? Not paying attention to these words leave us vulnerable and isolated, spiritually immature and unprepared to handle some of the complexity of our world. Gossip as well, though often convincing or presented as concern, is another form of speech that destroys rather than builds. This is Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Often not easy to mend. What may seem like a harmless exchange of information can often sow deep division and ruin relationships. Gossip creates suspicion, damages trust, and undermines community. This is probably one of my favorite proverbs at the moment. The words of gossip are like a choice morsel. They go down to the inmost parts. A morsel is like a cute little snack. It's appealing and looks delicious. There's something so scrumptious about a bit of gossip, isn't there? But the reality is that it infects your very being. Switching gears to something delicious that is not deceptive, a mocha, and this is mocha with the A, intentionally this time, not the ER, summarise some of these ideas fairly well. Ideally, our words should not be just sweet for the sake of tickling the taste buds. It's not just chocolate and whipped cream, that's a hot chocolate. Sorry, hot chocolate drinkers. But notice it's not pure espresso either. Sorry, long black drinkers, your turn. Our words really do need the right amount of sweet and the right amount of sting. I so love that I've heard the phrase, you've all heard this probably around here, speaking truth in love. So much throughout my time here at Living Church, I've heard this, and let's make sure we are actually doing that. Sometimes, and I think this can be unconscious, but we can easily learn a phrase, truth in love, and we boil it down to mean different phrases. Something like, I have to be kind first, or it's loving to tell the truth, and we can make that our new default recipe. But can you see how these statements are slightly different? Different assumptions, different outcomes. It's easy to get stuck in, isn't it? Well, I made an error here. Very good. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. It is a little bit scary considering some of the complexity, isn't it? That we can be flattered or lied to. And that we almost have to be a barista of our words, catering to a specific person in a specific context, in a specific moment. But it is quite encouraging that out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Because it's a window into our inner life. It's Jesus himself that says this. And Proverbs is happy to match the idea. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. I think the direct comparison between tongue and heart suggests that what we say flows from who we are, and I think that's the encouraging point. When the heart is wise and upright, the tongue becomes valuable and beneficial. A particularly vivid example of this heart-mouth connection is found in the character of the mocker. Again, this is the ER mocker. Here we go. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. They're a scoffer. They're someone who disagrees. Their heart is set against wisdom itself. This one's a bit of a toughie, 14:6. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none. The knowledge comes easily to the discerning. So is the mocker seeking wisdom now? Isn't it a bit cruel that they can't find it? For my take, I don't know what you think, but my take is that even when a mocker appears to be searching for truth, they can't find it because their heart is not truly open to receiving it. Their words may pose as inquisitive, but their heart will reject or ridicule rather than understand. Think of the Pharisees in Jesus' time. How often were they angry upon hearing the words of Jesus? Proverbs 21:24. Quite cutely, I think, labels mocker almost as a name, as if it's part of his identity. The mocker's speech is not just careless, but charged with arrogance and defiance. The mocking words are a natural outflow of a prideful, resistant heart. It's almost as if we need to pursue a better life, a Christ-like life, accepting God's wisdom for his creation. So I think the final aspect of wise words is knowing that you sometimes shouldn't say them at all. Importance of listening. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The very next verse, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. And sometimes it can feel like a bit of a lose-lose situation, can't it? Sometimes you don't answer them and that seems to backfire. Sometimes you answer them, that doesn't go how you expect either. But here's the thing, I think a lot of us have a tendency. We have a tendency to speak either too little or too much. But listening is a huge part of conversation, isn't it? Probably around 50%, unless you're a super extrovert, then maybe less. So I think it would be remiss of us not to discuss that as we're discussing wise words. Wouldn't you agree? Let's jump to the New Testament. I love this in James. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Everyone. I think the closest we get to talking about this concept today is labeling these tendencies as extroversion and introversion. We throw these words around a lot these days, don't we? Are you outgoing and loud or reserved and quiet? I think we often take extroversion to mean we recharge by spending time with people. But when first used, it was more about how some use talking as their processing space. They sort of think out loud. Brace yourself. So they're also more likely to act first and think later. I'm not mocking this tendency, by the way. My poor little introverted self is liable to overthink and delay acting until it's too late. My point is that we should all admit it takes a level of intentionality to listen well and speak appropriately to the given situation. What does that mean for us today? Here's a couple of takeaways. In the gospel, we see the Pharisees mock Jesus because their hearts were proud. Despite witnessing his miracles and hearing his wisdom, they dismissed him with contempt, questioning his authority and intentions. This mockery prevented them from engaging with the truth he offered. It kept them from coming to faith, to life in Christ. If you are exploring Christianity, this is key to understand. The sins of our mouth, gossip, lying, mocking, slander, they show us that we have a heart that has rejected God. These evil words are the symptoms, but make no mistake, the disease is the heart. This is why we need Jesus to forgive us, to change us, and give us a new heart. For Christians too, a heart of mockery can hinder our relationship within the Christian community. In James 3, we're warned about the dangers of bitter envy and selfish ambition, which lead to disorder and every evil practice. When mockery takes root in our heart, it shuts down conversation and fosters division. Instead of listening with openness and grace, you know, assuming that the person you're talking to is also a genuine child of God, who's also trying their best. Mockery encourages an attitude of superiority and dismissal that is not soiled to encourage meaningful Christ-like growth. It reveals the need to let God change you. Christians, we need to work on our hearts too. I think sometimes we could ask ourselves this, and maybe often, where do my words come from? It really is out of the mouth the heart speaks. We can only speak out what we've put in. A heart of love and showing a genuine interest in people will reveal your intention in the long run. That is encouraging if the heart's in the right place. It can appear disheartening to read the tongue cannot be tamed, but look at the wise words of James after this. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives? It really is out of the heart. I think we can also reverse engineer this a little bit, to some extent. Six verses later, James shows a picture of what the outcome should be. Maybe we can ask ourselves this. Do our words result in peace, consideration, submissive humility, immersive, and producing good fruit? You can think about whatever context is most relevant to you. Is there tension in the home? Are you engaging in a toxic online platform? Are you butting heads with a colleague? I think perhaps it's time to reflect and ask what heart these words are that are complicit in creating or maintaining these environments. Again, maybe we should ask, where do my words come from? I think we really need to use our words with care. James 3:6 warns us, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil. It corrupts the whole body, and it sets one's life on fire. This matches the violence of Proverbs, doesn't it? Our speech has a terrifying capacity for destruction. If we're honest, each of us leans into different kind of speech sins. Again, are you someone who speaks but rarely listens, or someone who stays silent when a wise word is or was needed? Do you lean too far into blunt truth or only ever empty kindness? Do your words heal or do they harm? God, in this respect, he calls us to self-awareness and repentance. It might be time to offer that word of apology to someone you've hurt, or a word of encouragement that maybe you thought but then withheld. Some of us maybe even didn't notice that someone needed encouragement. To that I would say, maybe we need to lift up our gaze to look at the people around us and see them again as interesting and genuine children of God. Don't excuse your tongue. Don't just aim to be nicer. Aim to be transformed. Ask God for help with both truth and love to heal and speak words of life. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much that you offer your words of wisdom to us that we can listen to. and that what you offer for us is not just words that we can't engage with, but your hand is held out, offering us hope for a new life, for transformation. I pray that we would take that hand. God, I pray for my own speech sins. Maybe others here could join in that prayer. Help me to be wise in the way I speak, remembering that my words really can have a destructive tendency, or on the flip side, be the very thing that heals and restores. God, I ask that as we sing today, these won't be idle words. This will be a song from our heart, a song of praise, and words coming from our heart as it's meant to be, honoring and accepting you. I thank you for your Son that has offered himself up as us, up for us, so that we can come here today in community and share words with each other. Thank you, God. Amen.